meeting's order. Item 1 and B, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Steve, are you not exiting out of the first one?
Yeah. 7:10.
What?
7:10.
7:10. Thank you.
Item number 2, approval of minutes for March 5th, 2026. Emergency meeting to the March 9th, 2026 regular meeting. If no objection is registered, the council chair shall approve the same as written. Any objections? Corrections? No? Item 3, approval of warrants. Suggest a motion to approve and sign warrants number 91 through 101 in the amount of $729,550.12.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 4, acceptance of gifts, donations. Suggested motion, move to accept the following gifts, donations, and grants in the amount of $286.11 as detailed below. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 5, chairman's town manager's comments. I don't have anything.
I do have a couple things, Steve. I want to step up here for a minute because I have several new employees to introduce to the council. We'll start out first with our only outside hire. This gentleman's going to be taking over our code enforcement. His name is Denton Trotter.
Good to meet everybody. Thank you very much for accepting me here in town.
Thank you.
We're going to start out at the transfer station. Ivan Cox, who was a foreman out there, has moved up to director. We'll continue on to Public Works. Also moving up from within was George Briggs, who's going to be taking over as director. We have Cody Norris, who's going to be taking over the Recreation Department, and he comes from Public Works Rec. He was a split billing employee. And I don't see her here, but we're going to be moving Amanda.
I'm behind you.
There she is, right there. She's going to be moving into the assessing office. So we have high hopes for getting some continuity. I also mentioned that we've been working very hard on the budget. The preliminary draft of the budget is complete. It's ready to go to the budget committee. Some of the budget committee members have picked their copies of it up. So that's it.
Yeah, thank you. Item 6, monthly reports. Council.
Nothing on monthly reports.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Two questions for you. To review and material today. This is our second month after we approved a motion to disclose fuel usage for each department. I've got data from Public Works. I haven't seen data yet for these last 2 months from any other departments.
I had a conversation with both the chiefs recently, and you can expect that moving forward in the next month's monthly report.
Okay. And the only other thing I'm going to bring up or ask is the status of those. Where are we at with the property list with Byron Sanderson?
We're at a little bit of a delay on that right now. Frankly, the assessing department only has time enough to do a certain amount of work in a day.
Can we get the actual list out onto the website?
We can work on doing that.
That's all I got.
Sean. Can we get to these, go over the speakers here?
No, just that one that's up there. So after open forum, I'll move it to you.
You can't hear him, really.
Right.
You missed half what he said, sorry, you did.
Sean said that this one up here is the only one that is working. Once open forum is over, he's going to move it up here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a couple questions. First of all, I was very taken back. I mean, we're stepping into a new role with assessing, I understand that. Mr. Rixom has been passed probably 11 years down behind me, and it shows that that piece of property is still in foreclosure. That has come out of foreclosure because Machias Savings Bank had it. Bradley Arnold owns it, and he's been moved in now for 6 months. And there's a piece of land behind me that's landlocked. It shows that the parents from Connecticut still own it, and they're both deceased. And the reason why I know it's landlocked, and we tried to do a purchase agreement on it, but it's showing up on my tax card. Because when John McLeod bought a piece of land and had the land resurveyed, they rolled that half acre into me, and there's no tax being paid on it. So I just hope to think that if we're moving forward, we're going to start assessing this property fairly, because we probably lost $1 million in revenue last year alone. And I want to give kudos to the team over there and Mary LaMonaco for bringing that to our attention. We're all about generating revenue, and I understand that we need to bring business, but we need to also put a relief on the taxpayers by the other people in order to pay them. I mean, we have a property out on Folsom Pond, it's probably $1.3 million, and it's being taxed for $700,000. That's not fair for everyone that's probably having their houses in foreclosure. And another thing is, I was just informed tonight by Councilor Rojo that we cannot receive the budget packet books. We've always got them in the past. And I demand that I get one moving forward, because we just can't sit back and look at the process, and I'm glad we got 14 people on the budget committee, but we need to scrutinize everything. And I expect that I can walk into the town office anytime and get that book. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The budget books cost a significant amount of money to print. Historically, we haven't printed budget books until the final draft of the budget. However, if you feel that strongly about it, I'm sure that we can get you a copy of the budget.
I mean, I'll pay for my budget book, Mr. Chairman. And last year, I got a budget book prior to the budget committee.
I don't know the facts of that. I'm just told that they normally don't. We only print them one time, and they go out after the budget's going through.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
As far as the assessing goes, we all know that our assessing department is shorthanded. It's been shorthanded for a long time. Things take a little bit of time. We're hoping we're taking the right steps to start capturing some of this money.
Thank you.
Anything else for monthly reports? Item 7, open forum. Council will allow Lincoln residents and or Lincoln taxpayers to comment prior to council action on agenda items. Individuals wishing to be heard by the council will be recognized by the council chair. The individual must identify themselves to the council by first and last name and or business owner. After identifying themselves, the speaker may make brief comments regarding items on the agenda that do not have a public hearing. The council chair may set a time limit on the length of public comment and or a time limit for individual speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm John Trask. I'm a concerned citizen. I live in Lincoln. I don't know how many of you saw this newspaper on April 2nd, but the town was front page in three items. I'm going to be as respectful as I can be. If we could just look at the charter, folks, about how we're supposed to be treating people on our council and as far as our employees. You can't go to a roadway committee and although I may not disagree, say to a sitting town councilor that what he's doing is reeks of corruption. Can't say that. And you can't go to a roadway committee and talk about the assessing department. That violates her rights, violates the town charter, and violates the council rules. So I've read the charter, I've read the council rules. Please, I'm just asking. We have to get back a little bit of decorum. And even though it's tough times right now, I don't know how you're going to cut this budget. County's going up 16%. School's going up 12%. State's going through the roof, and so is fuel. I don't know how you're going to cut the budget. But that was a promise that Foria made when you ran for council and said, we will not cut services. I hope you'll listen to your department heads who know what we need for ambulance service, police service, and fire service. We had businesses coming into this town, and we need those entities strong and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Melissa?
Hi, I'm Melissa Quintella. I'm sure most of you know me. I am the outgoing treasurer. I want to speak on item number 24, the 10% cut that a counselor has put forward for the budget reduction. I think there needs to be some clarification on what exactly you're looking at before you vote on this item. The item is set a total adopted municipal operating expenditures. Is that just the expense line items that you're looking to cut 10%? Is it the expense items minus the revenue, which is actually your net budget, that you're looking to cut 10%? Is it the entire budget, including the school and the county, which, as John Trask has just pointed out, theirs are both going up. It would be impossible for us unless you get rid of vital services to the town. So if it's 10% on just expenses, what are you going to cut to get that 10%? Items have gone up over 13% over the last, the cost of living in Maine over the last 5 years has gone up 13%. That affects fuel, that affects utilities, that affects your employees' pay as well, because your employees don't have a set amount for their utilities at their own houses either. Your employees' taxes are also going up. They can't have stagnant wages either. If your choice is to reduce employees, and that's also going to have an immediate effect as a payout spike. Case study, an employee earning $32.33 an hour at termination, let's say they have 220 hours of vacation, they also have 400 some hours of sick time, which they get a third of that paid out. That could cost the town over $12,250 as a payout. Then if you're cutting employees, you're not going to save everything on them, because we are self-insured for our unemployment. That means for the next 26 weeks after that, you could be paying unemployment for some of these employees that can't find a job. And then the town recently expended over $83,000 to terminate a single contract early for the town manager. And at that point, we also had to pay somebody else to be the town manager, and we've hired still. We still haven't gotten to the end of the fiscal year, and that budget is well over budget. A 10% cut does not occur in a vacuum, and since 2023, as I said, Maine has risen 13% for the cost of living. Public safety cuts, they cut emergency service just directly correlate to increased response times. Therefore, if you need EMS or police, you're going to be waiting much longer. If you start cutting admin staff, you're going to put more pressure on the staff that's left behind. You're going to create burnout and loss of institutional knowledge. Let's say somebody with 18 years of experience has resigned. And a primary factor in my own decision to seek employment elsewhere is burnout. I urge the council to request and look at a comprehensive impact statement before just voting a 10% across the board cut. You need to know what you plan on cutting, because 10% across the board, you're going to end up cutting services. And it's going to have a bigger impact if you start cutting employees in that 10%. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Anybody else on this side? Anybody on this side?
Charlie Wiley from Lincoln. I understand we're in the process of getting an assessor that can do it full-time, which is more economic development.
Could you speak up a little?
You need to read
that. Last year during the budget process, we were told assessing needed help. We put three people out eventually to catch up some. And we got Byron to do 156 properties with the intention of getting some of the missed stuff on the commitment book. From what I can understand, a lot of that still isn't on the commitment book, and we've gone past April 1st. So is Byron's list going to be on the next billing cycle or no?
That's my plan.
It is.
No comment from
that. I'll touch on the fire department. I've looked at a lot of their stuff. If we're going to grow, have more industrial base, I don't think we can go 10% on every department. If you touch like the fire department, some of them trucks are 25 and 30 years old. We should be looking at trying to get some money put aside towards a fire truck down the road, rather than come up to it and say, we need $1 million this year. I'm just asking that you look at 10% on every department doesn't make sense to me. Some maybe got a little more to cut than others, but to do 10% across the board, I think you're really going to lose on the safety side of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Okay.
My name is Javette Mayo. I'm a resident of Lincoln. First of all, I got just a question on something you've already voted on. On the donations list, if you add up all of those numbers, it does not equal $286.11, so you may want to revisit that vote. Second of all, when I looked at the packet that was on the website for the tax collector's monthly report, I noticed that she processed 24 tax abatements this month in a total of $27,013.73. My question to you is, where are the tax supplemental tax bills for all the work that Byron Sanderson completed and turned in? And my next question relating to monthly reports is, how can you even accept monthly reports if they're not complete? Why didn't the assessor also report on those tax abatements on her monthly report? And one of the other things I noticed about the other monthly report, in particular the code office, but I also think all the departments need to look at this. We need to look at what their revenues are monthly, and we need to look at a look back for a year. We need to see that so we can see what's going on in this town. I just want to quote something. I don't know if you guys understand management at all, but there's something called the Peter Principle. It's a concept in management that was developed by Lawrence Peter, which observes that people in a hierarchy tend to rise to a level of incompetence. What I'm talking about is if you keep promoting people from within, most people reach a level of incompetence in positions that they are keep being promoted to. And the other thing it causes, it entrenches the status quo rather than bringing in new perspectives for these departments. I really think that the other thing I want to ask Mr. Ireland with regards to his agenda item with regards to the budget is, in one thing he talks about a 10% reduction in the 27 operating budget, and then he talks about a 10% less than the municipal operating expenditure level. So those are two different things. You need to have one or the other. Is it going to be the operating budget, or is it going to be just the operating expense level? And the other thing that I wanted to mention is, I thought that the council had voted on, I'm not sure if you voted on it or not, but I thought all agenda requests had to have some sort of item, including in that agenda request, that shows the cost of the agenda request. So Mr. Ireland again had a request to allow the processional for the Friends of the American Flag, but there's nothing on that agenda request that will show the cost of police stopping traffic or whatever from the funeral home to High Street. And that question with regards to the agenda item for the transport fee, where did this idea come from? And shouldn't this be something that's included in the budget request coming up rather than out of the blue? Wouldn't this be more appropriate to be looked at during the budget process? And the other question I had relates to the Brownfield Assessment Program. What is the current budget for that program? Is it the total $500,000 grant? And I noticed one of the bids showed a list of references. Did anybody call those references? Or are you going to make a decision based on, again, a recommendation that wasn't included on the agenda? And I understand from the agenda item for the fees going to be charged at the library during homecoming, that those fees are being requested to go towards the Lincoln Friends of the Library. I'm just wondering if that's what happens every year, and is that something that we should be doing? I thought all fees should be going through the town. The other question I have is relating to the agenda item for the special plan 3C for the fire department. I understand that you've already signed the fire department contract, and I've heard through the grapevine this is part of what the agreement was when you signed that contract. Can you tell us what the cost is from going from the special plan 3N to the special plan 3C, what that cost is? And one last thing with regards to the food sovereignty ordinance. I was under the impression the entire time I worked for the town of Lincoln that any ordinance that was adopted by the council had a 30-day wait before it went into effect. I think that might be in the code, but I can't find the code online, so I couldn't confirm that. Those are the things that I have for you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stacey Williams. I live in Lincoln. So I have 2 points that I find quite distressing. Is that in August of 2024, I went looking for a map, an accurate map of Lincoln, of the roadmap. And I was told they could come the next day and get it. I still do not have an accurate map of the roads in Lincoln today. It's not attainable. And then I also filled out the Freedom of Information Access Form on 2/12/26, so February 12th. And I have 3 texts, one dated March 3rd, one March 12th, one March 24th, all saying that I will have that document of Byron's today, and I don't have that. And I'm only asking for the document, not for what was done with the information. But I have 3 texts telling me I'm going to get it that day. I have a real problem with the truth factor here. I find it quite concerning. And then my other thing is, these people that we're putting in these positions, do they have the credentials? We can't just keep putting people in positions that don't have the credentials.
We can't talk about.
I'm just saying.
No. We can't talk about that. I should have stopped.
My punchline to this whole story today is, after talking to two different people at the Bureau of Taxation due to this taxing problem in town, we've been encouraged to encourage the people in Lincoln to go ask for abatements, and especially if you've owned your house for 10 years. And that's from two people at the Bureau of Taxation or the assessing thing. Thank you very much.
Anybody else on this side? Nothing? Council?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. With what Jibet brought up, the total that the gifts that we accepted, it wasn't 286.11, it should have been 484.11. Do we want to make a note of that?
Do you want to revote it?
Yeah.
Yep. I have 484.11.
Okay, we're going to revisit number four. Acceptance of gifts and donations. Move to accept the following gifts, donations, and grants in the amount of 484.11.
So
second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor? All right, now we're going to move number 18. Up to right now, which is approve and authorize town manager. Suggested motion, move to approve a lease amendment with BDNE and authorize the town manager to sign the amended lease.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0.
You want me to give you a briefing of this?
Yes. Yep.
You want to move the microphone back?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me through this?
They can hear you at home.
Can you hear me now?
They can hear you here now.
Well, just real quick. So this is a bit of good news. So this is for Biofine. And Biofine plans on starting their construction this fall in the third quarter. What's before you is a lease amendment because they're expanding. Their original lease called for a phase one and a phase two project, and they would have an option for the phase two. They actually want to consolidate and bring phase two in now, which means two good things: more tax revenue for the community and more lease revenue for the mill site. So now the project's going to be about 7 acres, which is really part of the set that their second phase, and they're bringing all that in to one. And so they said they want to start construction. So that's good. We're just coordinating with them on. So we got a grant for some roadway improvements and those other things. And just real quickly, if you go to the mill site, you'll see there's a lot of activity going on now. We moved a number of buildings. Environmental remediation, and we're starting to take down that big blue building. We should have that down in a few months, probably the end of the summer, as well as some of Building 22, which is that brick building. We removed some of that, and we're starting to remove some of the rest of it. So we're removing all that stuff. Just from an environmental perspective, it's all, people always ask, what's the environmental condition of the site? The main issue that we have is the asbestos on the buildings.
We had the site tested for PFAS. You hear that a lot in the news these days. We had the DP tested that site. We are below detect. We don't have a PFAS issue on that site, which is great news. Great news to deal with. There has been some minor cleanups of PCBs, but the major issue is the asbestos and the asbestos of the buildings. We were able to work with the DEP to actually build a consolidation area on the site where we can take the asbestos. Asbestos is problematic when it's exposed to air. Like right now, the asbestos is blowing in the wind. And so the plan is to take that asbestos off the building because we tear them down. We have a DEP permit, regulated permit, to contain the asbestos on the site in a former landfill that the mill site had. It's regular, it'll be covered. It'll be completely covered, and we have a whole protocol of how we're managing that. That's going to save the town between $12 and $15 million. That would be associated with transport and disposal of that asbestos by keeping it on site. It's all managed on site, and we're looking at potentially putting a solar farm on top of that once it's all completed. So that's a real plus, and the DP oversees that. They regulate it. There's a whole process by when materials come off the buildings, they go into bins. We have a contractor that takes the bins, puts it in the asbestos containment area. So it's going to be a lot safer because it's inert, it's not exposed to the environment. It'll be a lot safer for the community than it is right now because it's flapping, a lot of it's flapping in the wind. So we look at that as a big plus going forward on your site. So we're happy there's no PFAS there, and we don't have any heavy metals, we don't have any large VOC problems, so and we have a great plan with DEP on the asbestos management. Be happy to answer any other questions.
Just a quick question. I just want to reiterate. Is there any environmental risks that Lincoln residents need to worry about with that asbestos being taken care of in the method that it's being taken care of over at the old mill site?
No, I mean, as I mentioned, the biggest risk to asbestos is exposure in the air. You breathe it in. And being contained in the soil, it's an inert material. And as long as it's contained and it's put in the ground, that's the best mechanism to manage asbestos. And that's how we do it nationally. You put it in the ground and it's not exposed to any groundwater. It doesn't mean anybody's drinking water, or it doesn't get in the air, which is the biggest problem. So actually it minimizes the risk that you have today on the residents.
As you affirm that this is the safest way to protect the town's health, just to reiterate that the only asbestos that will go there is the one from the mill, none from outside.
That's correct. Only asbestos from the mill site. We can't take in any other off-site facilities, nor is there any other materials going to go in there. So it's not going to be a dump, if you will, not a landfill. It's just for containing the asbestos on the site.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Welcome to the...
We get a motion.
We vote.
We
have the two youngest.
Item 8A, public hearing, renewal state liquor license application, Moomaw Restaurant. Suggest a motion, move to open a public hearing for the purpose of hearing all the written comments on the proposed renewal state liquor license application for Moomaw Restaurant.
So moved.
Second. Motion been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Is that after public hearing, 7:49. Anybody on this side have any comments? This side? Council? I'll close the public hearing at 7:49. Item 8B, approve state liquor license application, Wing Wah Restaurant. Suggested motion, move to approve the renewal state liquor license application submitted by Wing Wah Restaurant.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 9A, public hearing, renewal state liquor license application, Heart of Maine Winery.
So moved.
Suggests motion, move to accept the public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and written comments on the proposed renewal state liquor license application for Heart of Maine Winery, LLC.
So moved. Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Oh, do you have a discussion?
Well, this is just on the public hearing.
Oh, this is on the public hearing. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, all those in favor? 7-0. Start this public hearing at 7:50. Anybody on this side? Anybody over here? Councilor Hannigan?
Oh, now?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at the diagram at, of the winery here. I don't know if this is a true diagram, and I'm assuming that this is probably a commercial business. I'd like to know if the state fire marshal has come in. Because any commercial business, the your egress and your outgress doors got to be swung out. And in the basement, I don't see any egress other than the steps going down to the basement. Maybe the windows are low enough so they can use them for egress. You know, so I'd like to know for sure if either our safety officer has looked at the business or if the state fire marshal has looked at it. Because I can, by this diagram, I can see where there could be a lot of concerns if a fire broke out. Maybe there might be employees down there or even patrons down there. So with that being said, I can't vote for it, not knowing the full detail.
Is this, I'm under the assumption that this is a renewal.
Council meeting, I cannot talk.
Request, right?
Correct.
So I would assume the safety issue has probably already been checked before.
Can I answer? My impression would be that when they first got their license to operate, that all that took place. And now this is just a renewal application to the state of Maine, which this is their process.
The answer to the question was when the liquor license was first approved, went through the process that the safety inspections happened then.
Yeah, your microphone really working poorly tonight.
Is that better?
We didn't hear much of what you said either.
Me?
My question was, because the title is kind of misleading a little bit, not on purpose, but, you know, when you looked at the suggested motion, it looked like this was a renewal versus a first time. So, and that was my question. Because I'm assuming where this is a renewal, the safety issues that Councillor Hannigan just raised have been addressed and met satisfactorily.
My understanding, if this is a renewal application, we are simply saying it is okay for them to move forward with the application process, not that we are approving them all of the but we're saying we don't have an objection to moving forward with them applying
for the purpose of alcohol, correct?
For alcohol, right.
Yeah. If I can remember correctly, and I'm not code, they went into business doing one thing and then they came back at one point to make a change to our business. And I think that's where some of the extra seating and the outdoor thing came into play. So I know that was all handled through code when those changes happened. This is just for the alcohol piece of it to serve the alcohol there.
Right.
Yeah. And it is a renewal. It's not a first time.
Anything else for the public hearing?
Yes.
Sorry, probably can't hear me, but I'm up there anyway. So this is relating to the current public hearing you're on with regards to the liquor license for the Harbor Nation.
Yep.
Okay. So if it's a renewal, that means they're going to go forward and get their liquor license if you approve it here. And my next question is relating to the next one, number 10. Why isn't there a public hearing on a new digital license? Thank you.
My understanding, this renewal was the same as one lot.
Correct.
So, I don't know what else. Anything else for the public hearing? Close it at 7:55. Item 9B, approved state liquor license application, Harbor Main Winery, LLC. Suggest a motion to approve the renewal state liquor license application submitted by Heart of Maine Winery, LLC. So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion?
Just my understanding is if we are objecting to moving forward for anything other than an alcohol-related issue, then we're not following what we're supposed to be doing. Is that correct? In other words, isn't this just about the alcohol, whether or not there's been an issue about alcohol?
That's my impression of that, yeah. You're just saying,
that's my understanding.
If there was ever an issue where the police were called and there were constant issues with a place, you could tell a business that they can't have an alcohol license anymore.
Right, but that has
nothing to do with safety as far as I'm aware.
Fire doors, that one is a codes issue.
I believe so.
That's my understanding.
Any other discussion? All of them?
What?
Police chief, have there been any alcohol related issues at this business?
No.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Are we? Yes. Opposed? 6-1, Mr. Hannington opposed. Item 10, approve new vigil license, Danny's Express Mart. Suggest a motion to move to approve a new vigil license for Danny's Express Mart, owned by Danny Rebell. License to expire May 31st, 2027.
So.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion?
My understanding, again, this is a victualler's license, not a liquor license, so I don't believe there is a requirement for a public hearing. Is that correct?
Not for a victualler, correct.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 11A, public hearing, proposed food sovereignty ordinance. Suggest a motion move to open a public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral comments on the proposed food sovereignty ordinance as presented.
So moved. Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor? 7-0. We are going in at 7:59. We have anything on this side for the food sovereignty ordinance? This side? Council?
I guess I have
guess I'll start. You're ready. I was going to, Augusta's still in session, so I was going to see if I could get State Senator Hickman to zoom in tonight. This is kind of one of the few bipartisan issues here in Maine. Senator Hickman, along with the minority leader, Billy Bob, came together and just did a pretty serious upgrade to the statute. However, in order to make this work, and I wish I was more of an expert on this, but in order for each municipality in Maine to take advantage of the food sovereignty ordinance, it needs to be passed by each municipal town. The town of Lincoln does not need to do anything extra. It will not trigger any liability issues. It's pretty straightforward. And the motion, the language that I presented tonight is actually the MMA suggested language for towns to use. So one other thing that I did want to mention about this, and Jeanette Mayo was correct, I did look, and ordinances are supposed to have a 30-day waiting period. So when we get to the next part, I'll make a motion to amend that.
Do we have anything else for the public hearing? No, I'll close it at 8:01. Item 11B, proposed motion adoption of the Town of Lincoln Food Sovereignty Ordinance 2026, presented by Councilor Ireland. Move that the Town Council adopt the Town of Lincoln Local Food Sovereignty Ordinance as presented and enacted pursuant to 7 MRS subsection 286 through 281 through 286 and 30 AMRS subsection 3001, consistent with the Maine Municipal Association's 2025 model ordinance, and will become effective 30 days upon adoption. So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 12, reappoint member, Water District Board of Trustees. Suggested motion, move to reappoint Burton Lee to the Water District Board of Trustees for a three-year term expiring April 30th, 2029.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Maite Rodriguez, WhatsApp Audio.
You again.
$10.
Council meeting. No status meeting system. Yeah. Item 13, change of Maine PERS plan. Suggested motion to see if the Town of Lincoln will vote to change its plan for its eligible firefighters effective May 21st, 2026 for future services only. The town agrees A, to provide special plan C to its full-time firefighters who are not seasonal or temporary for service rendered after April 30th, 2026. Service crewed by firefighters before May 1st, 2026 remains under special plan. And B, to continue to provide special plan 3 and to full-time police officers who are not seasonal or temporary. And C, to continue to provide regular plan A and to all other full-time employees who are not seasonal or temporary, and D, to continue to exclude employees who regularly work less than full-time, seasonal employees, temporary employees, elected officials, and officials appointed for a fixed term from participating in the plan, and E, to authorize Dennis Bowen, town manager, to sign the amended agreement between the town and the Maine Public Services, Maine Public Employees Retirement System. Note, this change was approved by the town council at the time of the signing of the FI contract in January. This is the language that Maine PERS needs to complete this change.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, do we have a fiscal impact of what?
I'd have to deflect to Melissa or either of the two chiefs to answer that question. Fiscal impact?
I don't have it with me. I do believe it was presented during the deliberations for the fire contract. It's a 3% change in what the firefighters are paying currently. I believe a 2% change increase to what the town pays.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 14, approved closure, Farmers Market. Farmers Market. Suggested motion, move to approve closing part of Veterans Memorial Square beginning at 8 a.m. for the purpose of the Farmers and Artisans Market to run on Fridays from June 19th through October 2nd, 2026 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
So moved.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion?
I like this motion, but there's a little confusion to me in the way it's phrased. It has beginning at 8 a.m. It doesn't say the dates until later. I think we want to make it clear that 8 a.m. on those dates, and simply to repeat those dates there and times for the purpose of it, because otherwise it says just beginning at 8 a.m. And it doesn't really say what time period. It could start this weekend the way it's written. So just rephrase it to say beginning at 8 a.m. from June 19th through October 2nd, 2026. I'd like to make that as an amendment.
Okay, the motion is amended. Do we have a second for the amended motion?
Second.
Amended motion's been seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 15, approve after-hour event. Suggested motion, move to approve an after-hours event at the library on May 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. to hear from Maine author Dale Ruth Sherburn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 16, approved closure. Suggested motion, move to approve the closure of half of the library parking lot for a book sale and craft fair on July 16th and 17th during Loom Festival from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 17, approved fees. Suggested motion, move to approve charging a fee of $5 to be charged to the Friends of Lincoln Memorial Library for each crafter set up on the lawn to sell their wares during the Loom Fest event.
So moved.
Second.
Motions are made and seconded. Any discussion?
A question. The way this is phrased, I'm not sure. Is this saying that the $5 fee is to be charged to the Friends of the Lincoln Memorial Library? That the Lincoln Memorial Library will be paying the fee? Or is this
the
to be
Friends will be.
The Friends will be paying the fee. Got it. for each crafter that's set up? And are the different crafters that are setting up paying you then to pay us, or how is that?
They are paying the Friends a certain amount of money, which is just slightly over this $5, and the $5 comes to the town. The Friends pay the $5, and that's a non-compete clause for because Farmers Market charges $5. So we charge $5 for the Friends to make sure that if people are selling their wares, that they're accountable for paying a fee.
Got it.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 19, award bids. Against the motion, move to award the bid to blank in the amount of blank as recommended by the Economic Development Advisor Steve Lubeck and the Lincoln Lakes Innovation Corporation for the community-wide assessment grant.
We're going to deflect that over to Ruth.
Okay.
Required by the EPA, we have to go out to bid for every grant that we're awarded. This is a $500,000 community-wide assessment grant, which means that this engineering firm will go out and find possible hazardous properties, investigate them, and give us a proposal on what is needed to remediate them. This does not include just the mill, it encompasses the whole town of Lincoln. The bids were sent out. We sent out 16 requests for bids from 16 different engineering firms. The bids were approved by the EPA. They came back with their qualifications, which does not have a set amount because the jobs are to be determined. So it was basically a proposal on their qualifications and their hourly rates. We received two, one from St. Germain and one from CV and Mahar. As required through the Economic Development Committee, we send the bid request and the resulting bids that come in, and we take them to the Lincoln Lakes Innovation Corp. The Lincoln Lakes Innovation Corp reviews them along with Steve Lubeck, and then a decision is made and a recommendation is made for the council to approve. The budget is the $500,000 because that was the grant award. Whether they spend it all or not will be up to the Lincoln Lakes Innovation Corp and Steve Lubeck on which projects merit doing. So as the recommendation came in from the Lincoln Lakes Innovation Corp and Steve Lubeck, we would like to continue working with CB and Mahar at their hourly rate that they quoted in their bid specs. There was no set amount, it was just the hourly rates of the professionals that work with them. And yes, their references were checked. Both companies were equally qualified, but CB and Mahar has worked on the mill site and in the town of Lincoln for several other EPA grants. They have a knowledge of Lincoln. They have a working knowledge of what exists on the mill site. And we feel that their jobs that they recommend that we pay attention to would probably bear the most weight.
So when we do this motion, do we do the per hour?
Or? You do the per hour. It would be to CV and Mahar on the quoted per hour rates.
Mr. Chair. Will this motion affect property taxes at all?
No. This is a grant-funded project. There's no match from the town of Lincoln. There's no loan on this. It is 100% grant funds.
Okay, thank you. $120
and $130
an hour. Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
So is there a recommendation as to how we should word this motion from the Lincoln Lakes?
Just as I stated, to CB and Munhar in the amount of the quoted per hour rate in their bid.
So 120 to 130?
No,
yeah,
savings.
In it, what's written in their bid proposal that they gave us.
So if we say it as written in their proposal, then we don't have to specify.
We have it right here, then, with the rates.
So move to award the bid to CB and Munhar in the amount of their fee schedule that we have in the bid.
Correct.
So move.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 20, approve non-transfer fee for Lincoln residents. Suggested motion, move to charge $75 fee for each non-transfer that exceeds four times in a year EMS call to a Lincoln resident in excess of four, not per month, per year. I got ahead of myself, sorry. Let me reread that. Move to charge $75 fee for each non-transport EMS call to a Lincoln resident in excess of four non-transport EMS calls per year.
So moved.
Second.
Per month.
That was a change.
With this.
Can I speak first?
The motion's been made and seconded, so go ahead.
Okay. Councilor Gordon and I have kind of bounced this back and forth. I think we've come up with a kind of a compromise between the four per month versus the four per year. And
I think that if it's four per year, we have an interesting problem in that. At the end of the year, you're going to all of a sudden have people who have are going to be all at the same time be looking at whether or not they are going to have to pay to be transported. And if particularly if that comes in the regular year, then that goes right as you're going into winter. It seems to me that we're better off if we do it, maybe not monthly, but do it on a quarterly basis. And it also would then spread out so that the it gives a little more room for those. Every person who gets transported, gets a call for a doctor's appointment, for example, who is disabled, would end up might need to call for the police, the fire department, or the EMS department at the beginning and the end of a doctor's appointment. And we would not want we would want to be able to provide that service without having to do it excessively more. And so I think that four times in a quarter ought to be a fair amount after which we would end up charging.
Okay, that would be once a month. I mean, what we're having here is we're having a number of people abusing.
Yes.
Chief Brown is telling me, you know, there's people calling it almost every day, four or five times a week.
Yes.
And that is clear abuse of the service that we offer. And so now our paramedics are down with someone that is abusing, and a legitimate call comes in.
And they're not available.
We're unable to respond.
Yeah. Yeah. And so four times in a quarter would be roughly once a month, but people shouldn't be needing to use it more than that often. So that was my amended, what I was planning on amending the motion to. And so I would like to, if everyone is okay with that, amend the motion to four times a quarter.
Chief says that he likes that idea.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm there yet. I agree with the gist of your motion and I will support it.
Okay.
But So is it correct that, well, I guess my first issue is, do we really want our fire and EMS providing transportation to doctor's appointments? I don't think we want that.
No, this isn't about transportation. This is not transportation.
What happens is...
Yeah, I understand the issue, but I thought you just said...
These are non-transport calls. If they get transported, they get paid.
I think my understanding is this is people that are calling for EMS. EMS shows up, and then they just want to talk, or they don't want to go anywhere.
That's correct.
And I'm not so sure if I'm on board with the one per month. I think I'm fine with like two per quarter.
My rationale for the one per month is that you do have people who have legitimate doctor's appointments who are at risk of falling to their vehicle and from their vehicle. And that would give them two doctor's appointments they could go per quarter without having to pay anything.
But do we want our EMS to be doing providing that service?
Right now they're providing it how often?
Very, very often. But really, the doctor's appointment, the person that's been a taxpayer for 30 years that needs our service is one thing. They also have a hip replacement. We go, we transport them. They're transported home by the car. We help them in the house. You know, that's legit. But we do have people that call us because they're lonesome and they want someone to talk to. And as soon as we get there, they're refusing the ambulance, refusing the service, but we've got there and we've talked to them and they're very happy now. That's all they wanted. And we have a lot of those.
And I think to get a monthly visit from our EMS person, I think is a little excessive. I think you're going to encourage more calls than what's going on right now. And I guess my third thing is, Penquist offers a service that if you need a ride to a doctor's appointment and back home, they provide that at very low cost or for free.
There's no limit on the amount of times somebody can call now. That's really why this is here, to put a limit on them,
right,
to cap the abuse.
Yep.
And we can always start with two, and then if this continues abuse, then we can reduce it to one at a future time.
I'm fine with two per quarter.
Two per quarter? But that would be like one doctor's appointment.
And that's what happens. People don't use it at all, but then they need us for two times a week for a month. And then usually their hip is better or their knee's better, and they don't call us anymore. That's good.
Yeah.
We don't mind those at all. Right. I mean, that's perfect. That's what we're there for.
Which is totally why I'm saying four times.
But the people that call us just because they're lonesome, and we need to come up with a different.
And I.
You see why I'm saying four times.
I don't see why our EMS should be given rides to.
They're not giving rides.
They're not giving rides.
Why did you just say if only two per quarter is only one doctor's visit?
I'm missing something. It is because they will call for the for help from transportation from their house to their car at the beginning of the visit, their doctor's visit. At the doctor's office, they get in by themselves, but on the way back, they needed somebody to help them, so they call a second time to get help going back into the house. We don't want to eliminate that. So if you knock it down to two, that means one doctor's visit per quarter. And it seems to me that two doctor's visits or four doctor's visits per quarter is a reasonable service for us to be providing.
But one of the biggest items that we have is people falling out of bed or falling out of their wheelchair three times a day.
Yes, and we
three times a day. So they're very large, and we have four people going over to lift them and put them back in their chair and there. And if we weren't there to do it, they'd be laying on the floor for days. So that is our job to do that, but it is being abused. They really, maybe if we started to charge it, then they would go to a home or go someplace where they would have the help that they need. And we've called the state does nothing for us because they're sound minds and they can stay where they want. But we have a lot of those calls, repeat customers.
Mr. Chairman, if there's nothing else, I think it's kind of a moot point, but you just touched on it, Chief. I think if we charge them, because if Garland Hurd over there calls us, and who's going to track this? If Garland Hurd calls three times, but we can't go to Garland Hurd, how are we going to track this? I think it'd be best if we would just charge a minimal fee, you know, because, I mean, we have a lot of elderly residents in Lincoln. I mean, it'd be an administrative nightmare to say, look, sorry, you can't go Steve Play today because you've already gone twice, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's the case.
No.
I think they're saying after so many times you get charged for that.
Oh, okay.
Is that how I understand?
All right.
And it's a fair price because I believe it's less than what Collins charging. I think they charge $100.
Right. And we calculated out.
No, it's not that you would go.
Yeah, we calculated out based on $30 an hour, figured it's roughly an hour out of their time, plus some time, travel time and wear and tear on the vehicles. So roughly $75 is kind of what I came up with.
Okay, and Councilor Street, I wouldn't even be opposed to reducing $75 to $50, but I would be more comfortable with two per quarter.
All right, how about we come up with something in between?
Three.
Three per quarter. That's one per month.
That's where we kind of started.
Well, no, because it was going to be more than one per month.
Okay. You talk me into it.
Okay.
All right, so, okay.
Who's going to administer it? Who's going to track the calls? Who's going to produce the bills? And who's going to do the collections?
We already bill for the lift assist out of town, right from my service, and with the gentleman in the back. He's already doing that. So what we do is come in once a week and give him that information, and he bills it out. Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Do we have any more discussion? Seems like your motion needs to be amended.
I was going to say, let me amend my motion to be moved to a charge of $75 fee for each non-transportation EMS call to a Lincoln residence in excess of three non-transports EMS calls per quarter.
So moved. That's the motion. Second.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Second.
Okay, so the motion's been amended and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 21, Fire/EMS Ad Hoc Committee. Suggest a motion move to approve creating an ad hoc committee for the purpose of studying and development of fire EMS service fees with the intent to improve future service agreements with major towns to include two councilors, three public members, including, in addition to the town manager and fire chief. So moved.
Second.
And seconded. Any discussion?
Just to make a point that the town manager and the fire chief should be ex officio members. That should be primarily council and citizens committee making the decisions that, of what would be recommended to the council, with of course their input.
Right. Do we have councilors that are interested? Gordon and Aaron. Okay. Everyone all right with that? Okay. And the public members, I think David Moyson.
I was going to say,
I would like Charlie.
Suggest David and Charlie. If you need a third member, are we allowed to have a fire captain? Or is that stepping out of it?
No, you should keep it as
well as a public member.
Okay, all right.
Anybody else?
Can I ask a question? Didn't you ask this a couple weeks ago to review on it? Can you ask this to the other?
No.
Sorry?
Do you want to be on?
Dr. Layton and one other person. They are both willing to serve.
Do you have any interest, Stacy?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, so David Morrison, Charlie Dwally.
We'll add Dr., you said Dr. Layton?
Dr. Layton, yes.
Layton?
He has to participate remotely, but he's a very smart man. His heart is in the right place.
Okay.
Quick point of order, a question here. Remotely, then we would be doing, is that feasible?
Well, I'm ready to raise that point. I nothing against Dr. Layton whatsoever, but if we do have that where he has to participate via Zoom, then we'd have to put another person on the payroll after hours to facilitate that.
I'm going to suggest that the fifth member be someone appointed by the town manager per volunteers and for him to choose.
Yeah, does the ad hoc committee meeting have to be open to the public?
Should be.
Yeah.
All of our committee meetings are open to the public.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And are we going to Zoom those or not?
Well, that brings us back to the same point. If we do that, then we have to bring another person in after hours. We don't Zoom our roadway committee meetings. And again, I want to stress, this is nothing against Dr. Layton at all.
Right.
I don't even know the man, but looking at the logistics of putting together this committee, it would involve an expense.
We could put an ad out for a member.
Having him participate via cell phone is not adequate.
I can tell you I've tried doing that for meetings in the past, for support groups that I've run, and it becomes incredibly difficult.
So then it is an issue that a lot of people are interested in. I like
I'm in favor of, due to the nature of the subject matter, I would be in favor of that being Zoomed so that it's being recorded, just so that the surrounding towns can watch it after. And sometimes I miss meetings, and I am always going back and rewatching, you know, council meetings and budget committee meetings from yesteryear. So I think that would be something that's worthwhile to.
Is that the consensus of the council?
Are we going to have a deadline on this so we can give a decision to the other town?
Yes, we should put a deadline on it because we do have budgets coming up. What's a good end of May?
It'd be sooner than later because they're all calling us.
Yeah.
30 days.
A month? 30 days?
I'd say 30 days.
30 days? Yep. Okay. Yep. All right.
Well, one thing, Steve. Mr. Moisen, if you'd be so kind as to send me over Mr. Leighton's contact information via email, please.
We've got it nailed down. All those in favor? 7-0. Item 22, approve council resolve firefighting vehicles. Move to approve council resolve regarding firefighting vehicles as attached.
So moved.
Second for purpose of discussion.
Motion's been made and seconded. Discussion. I'm going to ask a question right off the bat. Don't we already have a reserve account for fire trucks?
We have a reserve account for fire trucks. The balance is zero. However, in this original budget draft, there is $100,000 in there. I don't know what the resolve read.
It read 100,000, just.
Okay, so, but we did put I put $100,000 into this first budget draft.
This is, my idea of this is resolve was not to put a requirement on the budget, but to put something, a target that we would try to shoot for as part of the budget process, both on the part of the fire department, the town manager, and the budget committee, so that they would know that this is something that we think is important. We recognize that there used to be that we were setting that kind of money aside on a regular basis, but somewhere in the past it stopped happening, and we are now at the point of having vehicles that are, I mean, basically three of the vehicles are listed, the three vehicles that are over 20 years old are listed as being in immediate danger of failure. And so we don't want to ever end up in the situation where we are suddenly looking. We actually should be putting out purchase orders for a new fire truck now, because it will take 2-3 years to get one.
3 year wait.
Mr. Chairman, I mentioned this because of the street. I would like to add this to the agenda of the ad hoc committee for recommendations. In principle, understand that we need to create a fund.
The fund is already created.
It's created. So but it's not funded. There is no money in it, right?
That's right, but there is a fund.
There is. Okay. But there is in the proposed budget.
Okay. I take it back.
So I guess one variation, one thing I would do with this for a modification or amendment to the motion is that it should not say to create a capital fund, but to fund the capital fund for future projects and make that one change in the result.
So what does that accomplish? Is that telling future councils you have to put something in it?
No, it says that that
is. So what's the point?
The point is for us to be saying to the fire department and to the budget committee that this is something we consider a priority.
Right. We always have in the past, maybe not the last few years.
So why did we stop? And I'm thinking we
budget need concerns.
To, and we need to be budget sit there concerns. And say that basically we need to say that this is an important thing to us.
I just think it sounds like you're telling future councilors what they have to do.
It's not a have to. That's why I put it as a result.
I think it needs some work.
Okay, that's fine.
Because you already do have a capital fund, so you can't create another one. Well, I mean, I guess we could. But I would just sooner see this table, bring it back next month.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't mind working on that.
The budget committee starts, I'm speaking loudly, not because I'm yelling at you guys, but I know the mics are, don't worry.
They are working good tonight.
The budget committee is on the cusp of starting their work. They've just been able to pick up their budgets today. We've just said it's important.
Yes.
So there are members of the budget committee in the audience. Mm-hmm. They've heard that it's important. I say let them do their work in the budget committee, which we're all cordially invited to listen to what they do and watch the, deliberations. So I don't think we need a resolve or a motion. We just need to let them do their work. And we have the fire department that, in theory, will be there saying, we need this equipment, it's really important. We have a town manager backing them up. So that's, I think it's not important to, I think we should not vote on the motion.
As long as it's clear that that the majority of the council thinks that this is an important issue, that's why I did it as a result.
Well, we do have a motion in a second. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion fails 4-3. Councilor Hannigan, Moisen, and myself will be in favor of. No. Yeah. Didn't pass 4-3. Okay. Item 23, approve processional. Move to approve a processional conducted by Friends of the American Flag through town on June 14, 2026, beginning at 2 p.m. from the Bowers Funeral Home parking lot down to the southbound side of Main Street and through the light onto High Street.
So moved.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded. Discussion?
This is a proposed event on Flag Day. I can speak louder if I need to.
Use your inside, outside voice.
I'll use my outside. Use my Sheldon voice. Boy, you really broke this, Councilor Voice. Flag Day is three things going on Flag Day. Obviously, it's Flag Day. Number two, it's the 251st birthday of the U.S. Army. And number three, President Trump's 80th birthday. So this is going to be an event that will run between 1 and 3 downtown. It's at 2 o'clock where the little... Not really a parade because we're just going to go down one lane from Bowers Funeral Home down to the light, and then they can go straight if they want and come back around, do their own thing. I think Jibette Mayo brought up a good question. I would ask the police chief what it would cost to, I guess, stop traffic off Route 6 so they could.
My plan was just to use the officers that were working. So I didn't assume that this was going to be a huge parade that was going to require extra details. So I was going to use the people that were working.
Okay. All right. Had there been additional costs, I would have paid for it. So. And then people can be on the sidewalk on Main Street, wave, and have flags and things like that. So that's the gist of it.
Any other discussion?
I'll just add that, you know, the Catholic Church, there's a processional that we do once a year. And I certainly appreciate that I believe the same thing as that you provided in the past. And I think that we want to not discourage this kind of processional.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. Item 24, direction to prepare a reduced fiscal year 2027 municipal budget. Move that the town council direct the town manager to prepare and present to the council a proposed fiscal year 2027 municipal operating budget that reflects a minimum reduction of 10% from the total fiscal year 2026 adopted municipal operating expenditure level.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Chair, before we vote on this, can I speak on this topic?
Yes, I'm going to ask for discussion.
Okay.
Motion been made, seconded. Discussion?
I think I probably could have worded that last adopted municipal operating expenditure level probably a little better. What I am referring to is the $11,400,000 aspect. The total spending by the town for fiscal year 2026, if you factor in what was paid to RS 67 and County. It was actually $17,876,530. I mean, obviously, it's kind of a fool's errand to try to reduce what we pay to the county and to RS 67. So I didn't intend to do that. I'm more focused on the 11.4 million. If that makes sense to the rest of the council.
Can I ask for clarification?
Yes.
Is that, Council Island, is that the amount to be raised? Is that what you're referring to?
No, I'd like to see a 10% reduction of that. So
okay.
1.14.
I speak to the council here with no intent to disrespect, but I feel that reducing this budget by 10% is a bad move. There's a lot of talk going around, and we need to cut some firefighters out, we need to cut some policemen out. And we have invested big money in these people, their assets to us, their resources. It's $100,000 for a fireman to go from entry level to full-fledged fireman. We have footed that bill. And if we start cutting people loose, we are getting nothing for our return of our investment. In a few years, we're going to look to fill the fire station back up. We're going to have to spend that money again. And so I urge the council to not pass this 10% reduction.
Mr. Chair. My response to that is, and I totally agree with the town manager. However, just in the last 5 years, town spending has increased by 62%. Firefighters' budget has increased by 77%. And the police department budget has increased by 137%. And just to kind of put this in a kind of a comparison, the RS 67 school budget in the last 5 years has increased 18.4%. Now, the point that you bring up, Mr. Manager, is a very valid point. Should there need to be cuts made, we are going to lose some training. But most people's property taxes have doubled in the last 2 years. It's to the point where they demand property tax relief. And this is the reason why I've put this motion on. We should be able to find, we got a great budget committee put together. We've got really smart department heads, and we got a smart town manager. Should be able to find 10%. I'm not saying, and this really doesn't direct, that it's a 10% across the board cut for every department. I just lost my other thought. But hopefully, when our local economy turns around, and we get economic development, 3 or 4 years. We got great news tonight from BioFind. We'll be in a better position then. It may cost us a little more to hire back employees, do the training. But I'm pretty confident with the taxpayers that I have talked to during the campaign and who I talk to every day. We'll be in a much better financial situation to take those steps and to meet whatever levels that we need to meet. So we got some pretty substantial budget growth. And I will be following very closely the budget committee's work. We'll be looking forward to your budget. And then I've been getting additional information from different departments. So. I'm looking for numbers and data, and when the time comes, then I think we as a council can make a prudent decision. decision.
A very important point that we made earlier is that this has to be a zero-based budget. In other words, we don't base our budget on last year's budget. We take every line item, we justify it. It has to be justified because it's a need and not a want. And I've been through this process before in countries, and there's savings to be found. A little bit here, a little bit there. But the objective is to help the taxpayers. Also, we have not discussed what has been being talked about. Revenue is falling because the tax raises are inappropriate because a lot of good work has not been done, and properties that are not being taxed, properties that are being taxed improperly. So we need to find that revenue to also help offset any shortfalls. So, you know, it's not just cutting. We need to bring more revenue. Some of the revenue is there. So the new assessor has to bring us good news so we can truly balance the budget without continuing to hurt the taxpayer.
There's no argument for me on that. My position is we go cutting these people, we're never going to get them back. We're not going to get the investment that we have put into these people back. The assessing, that's going to come after.
Excuse me. My view is not necessarily to cut people. See, we're talking about cutting people. We don't know what we're going to recommend until all the numbers are crunched and every line item is justified. So it's not against personnel.
Okay, I will say this. There has been a counselor on this council that's been to the firehouse and advised some of those guys to go get another job.
I understand. But again, it's not focused on personnel. It's the overall budget.
Steve, it seems to me that there's a way that this reminds me of my resolution, and that right now, we have a budget committee that already knows that we want to reduce the budget, and that the resolution, that this motion is a little unclear, and it might be well just to not pass this and accept the fact that we have a budget committee that knows what we want to do, and also that they already have a budget in hand to start with, and let them work from there and trust our town manager to work with them on that.
Dennis? We all know, all the department heads know that we're in crunch time. We need to shave this budget. And we're significantly ahead already, and we haven't laid a soul off.
Well, I guess why I disagree with Councilor Street on this, it's not already written in somewhere to direct the town manager to present a budget that's with a minimum 10% reduction. The other thing is, I want to get that on the record.
It seems to me it's on the record because it's in council meeting after council meeting since you were elected that you want a 10% or more budget cut.
I didn't release a number until about a month and a half ago.
Well, I managed to make it into the minutes.
I will amend the last little clause there. I think we should still do a straight up vote.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Opposed? Fails 1-6.
Yes.
Ireland is the only one to vote for.
Oh well.
They may come back and save us 12%. The council.
Well, that's why it says
item 20. Okay. What?
Mr. Chair, can I make one more statement on this topic before we close out? The department heads and I will make every effort to lower this budget.
Item 25, future agenda items. Future agenda items? Nothing? Item 26.
Move to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor? 7-0.